My first precious memory is being held down by a team of French scientists and being forced to piss in a cup. It was beautiful. All right, so I've been in charge of starting this episode. Oh, this will be easy. Hello, welcome to the first podcast. This is the first episode of the first podcast. We are trying this format out, a new pilot episode. I originally went down to my Home Depot, and I found two men who were willing to work for the lowest possible rate, literally $20 and a couple McDonald's cheeseburgers. Lars the Larkinator over here to my left. And in the other room, because my apartment's not big enough to fit everyone in one space, again, I'm sorry, Mom, Jesus!
Hi, Gavalt, would it kill you to do the dishes every once in a while?
Is Joe, who is sitting on my toilet right now with my laptop that I stole from an Alienware software store in, like, I think 2006? And welcome to the show. I think our internet is working. Comcast is supposed to come out today, and they were supposed to fix it. I talked to their guy, Larry. And he was all like, you know, we got a lot of new setups in the area. I don't really know what we're supposed to be doing with this. They've got a new grid system, this and that. But did you sign up for the HBO package? And I was like, dude, I don't even have cable. Like, what am I supposed to do with that? Long story short, welcome to this brand new podcast that no one has ever done before ever. And now my co-hosts who have never done a podcast will introduce themselves.
Hi.
Wow.
Thank you for that. My name's Joe. I'm going to be the co-host today. And with me, as always, I have Lars.
Just want to put it out there that Andrew got one thing correct about that entire introduction, which was that this is the first podcast. And with us today is an esteemed multicultural guest, Andrew, last name, a.k.a. Hugbees. Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Oh, Jesus, what don't I do? I'm a small boy who grew up without friends. And I went, wait a minute, the internet kind of gives me friends, sort of. Why don't I just live there? So I do all sorts of bullshit. I can swear on this show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could say like,
okay,
heck,
if you do, or it's kind of weird if you don't.
Jeez.
I'll try not to. Okay. But I do podcasting, I do streaming, I do YouTube, I don't know, all the garbage that everyone on the internet does these days, and I throw it out there and see what people think of it. And usually they like it. So hey, that's me. Yay.
Well, what's the name of the podcast?
Yeah, I should probably say that. I am on a podcast called The Official Podcast, which means even though the nice, handsome men of Lars and Joe here have come before us on the first podcast, they are still infringing on our intellectual property.
Well, isn't yours the official podcast of the internet? Like, isn't that what that's for?
Well, now you're putting qualifiers on it. It is the official podcast.
Ah.
Every other podcast that you hear is a ripoff, an imitation.
Okay.
Ours is the only one.
In arbitration, I think.
That's exactly. Fine. Yeah, we'll take it to small claims court. You've met my guy.
We are unofficially the official first podcast.
Oh.
Yeah, but that was kind of a gangly name, so we just went with the first podcast. What are the names of your co-hosts on there, Andrew?
Okay, so we have Mr. Jackson Clark.
I don't want you guys to just blow your load immediately. I want to drag this out for the full hour.
Who lives in Australia, meaning that scheduling with him is a big pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Then we have Charlie.
Before cum was invented, all you had was pee.
Who is a big YouTuber man. He looks at YouTube and commands an army of college kids to do his bidding. It's impressively amazing. He's also the only reason our podcast is popular. And then we have Mr. Kaya Orson.
Just bear with me, I'm not good at math, but my cum adds a value $49,800 to the poster. My jizz is gold.
All the way over in Germany. So we are a large, diverse group of four men who gather together through the power of the internet to talk about our dicks and poop and ladies and movies and, I don't know, stupid shit.
Fairly accurate description of the content. I did notice, however, that a certain person's name was left off the lists. Is there some bad blood there?
So we originally had a fifth person by the name of Alex.
Basically every day I think about you coming on that poster.
Otherwise known as I Hate Everything. And he decided to leave the show on episode 100 after unceremoniously saying, I think, only speaking in two episodes of the entire production. And now we have a new fifth member who is actually on this podcast as well, good old Craig Bot. Craig, why don't you say something for the people?
Now recording.
Oh, Jesus, Craig, not on this show. I'm sorry, Craig is a notorious racist. It happens.
Now, when you said that Alex only spoke on two of those episodes, and by the way, I think it was actually three, because he was on the one with Kraken.
You're right.
But, no, he was speaking the whole time. His audio just didn't get through, right? I mean,
right. So, it's kind of a deep lore. It's kind of like, you know, we have a whole wiki, like a creepypasta wiki behind it. You can research it for hours and still not get an answer. We don't actually know if Alex just wasn't talking out of protest or his microphone was just muted every single episode and he was desperately trying to get our attention. He's never confirmed or denied it. I don't know why.
And it never got diagnosed?
No, we were never able to figure it out because the final time we actually got him to speak, he was announcing he was quitting. It was a very, very underwhelming experience for everyone involved. But we wish him luck, that fucking bastard.
I mean, he's on the Sardonicast, and I actually do like that podcast, so I think he's going to do okay without you, but he's definitely missed as a listener.
Oh, he's probably doing just fine, you know. He's probably
I'm sure.
It sounds like you guys are on really good terms.
Yeah, great terms. I haven't spoken to him in about a year, but I think that we are doing just fine. I think that him and I are great friends. I could show up to his house now, and after I had to introduce who I actually was, I think we'd get along great.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I guess no news is good news.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, Andrew, one of our traditions on this show is to ask really weird hypothetical questions.
Great.
And normally, I'd leave it up to Joe to ask one, but he is
I'm not good terrible
on the spot. So I'm going to go ahead and ask one, and it's actually kind of a current favorite of ours. Are you prepared for this, by the way?
Please, by all means.
Okay. So suppose you find out that there's a really popular brand of soap in France that was made from your piss as a baby. Responding to a public request, your mom sold a company your urine when you were an infant, and due to some unique physiological quirk of yours, they found it perfect to base their soap line on it. What do you do with this knowledge?
Oh, I would taste it.
Why?
I would take it to a new frontier. Like, everyone's going to go, like, Le Hon Frozon en Fribe PPC, like, whatever the fuck it's called. Everyone's washing it on their bodies. I want to be the first man to chart that uncrossed territory of, yeah, but how does it taste?
So you'd be the Bear Grylls of soap, basically?
Exactly. If this cleaning product is as effective as they say it is, that it requires baby piss, my super-powered baby piss, then I want to know if it's got other products. What if I eat it and I, like, cure my glaucoma that I had in this hypothetical? You don't know.
Yeah, that's certainly a possibility.
I guess.
We were going to just ask if you would use the soap. We weren't going to...
Like, would you try it out?
Try it out.
What?
Would you want to... Use
the hypothetical soap.
Yeah, that's disgusting, Joe.
What the fuck is wrong with you? That's baby piss. Ew.
But it's your baby piss.
Well, then it's precious to me like everything else.
Like a precious memory. Like your first memory.
My first precious memory is being held down by a team of French scientists and being forced to piss in a cup. It was beautiful.
All right, there's the cold open. That works. Would you be mad at your mom, by the way, for this?
No, only if she squandered my money. Because I'm getting royalties, right?
Would it make a difference if she said yes or no to that?
Fuck. Okay. Let me lay the smack down on this. If she squandered my royalties, but put it in a place that benefits me, fine. Like, if she took that money and went, I made you a nice college fund. Or, like, I made you a great suit out of all the jars of baby piss soap. Or, like, something I could use, I'd be less upset. You know what I'm saying?
What about, like, a frozen yogurt fund? Like, there's $25 in there. Take your friends out.
Does it have my piss in it?
As long as it doesn't have the piss in it, that should be fine.
As long as it wasn't like she spent it on like stupid gambling shit or cigarettes or what the fuck. I like how I turned my mom into a horrible convict in this hypothetical.
As long as she doesn't use it to buy drugs.
As long as she's not scoring hookers and fleeing to Miami. No, as long as she put it towards something that would benefit me, because, I mean, it's my piss. I deserve something from it.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, beyond that, nah, I wouldn't be that upset. I don't know. If she didn't throw it away, I wouldn't be that upset.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And speaking of things, by the way, Joe, that don't make us upset, I think we should talk about Mint Mobile.
Mint Mobile, America's darndest mobile network.
That's a weird way to put it, but sure. Go ahead, Joe.
Do you want me to talk about Mint Mobile?
I think you probably you probably do enough of that on the official podcast. We can do that.
Okay, sure.
So Mint Mobile is go ahead.
Shut the fuck up, Joe.
Ooh.
Anyway, Mint Mobile is a cell phone network that piggybacks off of T-Mobile and passes the savings on to you. And one of the biggest questions that we've had on this show about the service is...
But wait, I have unlimited data already.
And here's the thing. Your data may be unlimited, but your usage of it probably isn't. So if you're only using, let's say, 2 gigabytes a month, 6 gigabytes a month, even 20 gigabytes a month, you're probably overpaying for your cell phone service. As a customer myself of Mint Mobile, I think you should go ahead and check them out. Their plans start at $15 a month. The Mac Daddy package is only $38 per month. They come in 3-month packs.
Wow,
and
that's pretty neat.
Joe, you're still on T-Mobile, right?
Yeah, I use T-Mobile. And
what
you know
a
what?
Sucker.
I pay a lot of money and I don't get very much out of it. And I've been considering switching to T-Mobile's sort of sister network, Mint. And I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to take the step.
The cool sister that no one knows about, but like has really awesome candy to give out, basically.
Not the Meg of the sister, but the secret hidden Meg. That's really cool.
Nope. That's a terrible description of it, Joe. Jesus. Okay. So if someone wanted to find out more about that, how would they do that, Joe?
Mint.T1Podcast.com. Go to Mint.T1Podcast.com. Everything's there. All the links that you're going to click on and sign up for the service.
Yeah. Mint.T1Podcast.com. Thank me later.
Mint.T1Podcast.com. Mint.T1Podcast.com. Mint.T1Podcast.com.
Thanks. Thanks for that, Joe. Okay. Okay. And
now you can't forget it. Mint.T1Podcast.com. So,
Jesus. You were saying?
Oh, I was just going to ask what that link was again. Oh.
Mint.T1Podcast.com. Oh.
I've got
I didn't quite catch that, Joe.
Mint.T1podcast.com. Yeah. Okay. Everyone right. Take out okay. Your phones right now. Go
to okay. Andrew, we have a bunch of questions from the audience. I feel like it would be an insult to them to not throw some of these at you.
Please, go right ahead.
Okay. So Fake Not Real 35 asks, if you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain.
You know, that song is about a guy cheating on his wife, and a lot of people don't know that.
What?
Really?
Look up the full lyrics to that song. He looks up a personal ad, and that's what it says, and he tries to meet up with her because he wants to get away from his boring wife.
Oh, but doesn't it end up being his wife?
Yeah, the plot twist of the song is it is his wife, and they have a hearty laugh and then go to divorce court.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's kind of bittersweet, I guess.
No, that last part I made up to try to
Wait,
be funny.
Wait, he got it.
Believe it or not, there is no mention of divorce in the Pina Colada song.
Wow!
Oh, man, you want to get hit with another rip smackle? Another real hard hitter?
Is it, really love your peaches, want to shake your tree about a penis? Is that what you're going to say?
Wait, it's not about peaches? No.
I think it's about a penis.
What? This is the one that hurt me when I found out about it. This is the one where I think I'm going to break some hearts. Hanson's Bop is about how everyone dies. Yeah, it's about how as time goes on, things change and eventually everyone just dies. So all you can do is say Bop da bop do bop.
You have so many relationships in this life. Only one or two will last.
Yeah.
You go through all the pain and strife. Then you turn your back and they're gone so fast. Oh my God.
So you take Hanson's Bop, which was literally the happy, skippy-go-lucky power ballad rock of the 90s. And that's what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's about how life is fleeting and people die.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Bop. Ba-do-ba-dop.
This isn't the Bum Everyone Out podcast, though. This is the first podcast.
All right.
Though.
Okay. I'll tell you another one that'll actually make you happy. You know the song by Bubba Sparks that goes Miss New Booty? One that goes booty, 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 rockin'
booty,
everywhere?
Booty, booty, rockin' everywhere.
That one is, believe it or not, just about the fact that Bubba Sparks likes booty.
That's nice.
Oh, good.
That's good.
Yeah, he's up front with his hobbies. Yeah.
I found you, Ms. New Booty.
Right.
Get it together and bring it back to me.
Right.
Hit the Players Club for about a month or two. Put his hand on it, then see what he do.
Now, all that is insinuating. There's no dark overtones there. It's just he enjoys butts, and upon going to the club, he likes to touch them and dance with them and wants to see them. That's about it.
I know another song you might like.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not going to say the name of it. He just knows one.
Yeah, he just wanted to let me know that fact.
Andrew, I'm going to have you turn your attention to the recording chat text channel. I'm going to have to link this in the show notes because this is an audio podcast. You're going to want to see this once Andrew takes a look at this image. I just want to see what your reaction is to it. This was made by one of our members named Dob. I cannot possibly prepare you for this. Just
please
go ahead.
By all means.
Side note, we do a decent job of describing it, but it's an eldritch abomination and words don't do it justice. Also, tune in live next time you dip.
Yeah, I hate it. To describe it to the audience, it's as if you took acid and you kind of watched your best friend bleed into the fifth dimension, and when he came back, he told you about his favorite podcast.
What disturbs me the most about this image is just how many hands there are.
And I think it's all my hand, too.
Yep. Including the one on your crotch for some reason.
Yeah. I'm very flexible.
Yeah.
It is a very great characterization of me and my three bestest friends on the podcast.
Yep.
I think he said he expanded the crotch by 200% or so. He blew up
the
crotch.
No. He
that's
reduced
downsizing
it. Yeah, he reduced it. It was too big to fit in the frame before, my crotch.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
Sorry
to hear about your large crotch.
Yeah, I highly recommend if you're driving, because a lot of people listen to the podcast while driving, just pull out your phone and fiddle through the show notes.
After pulling over, obviously.
You know, just make sure, pay attention, get the right link. Pay a lot of attention to your phone while doing this so that you make sure you look at the right photo. And look at this masterpiece of avant-garde expressionism or whatever the fuck you want to call it.
They did get Charlie's height right, so that's nice.
He's a little baby boy. He looks like Mini-Me. So cute.
It is that's the one cute part of the picture. The rest is just an eldritch abomination, but yeah.
According to the original artist, apparently the hand on the crotch is for support. And that's why most of my underwear has like Velcro straps in it. Just gotta keep everything held up, you know?
In real life, right?
Right. Well, no. In real life, when I do public appearances, I hire two very small men to just stand under me at all times.
And grab your balls or what?
It's not a crab, it's more of a cup. Ah. Like a soft, supple support. You know how women have push-up bras?
Yeah.
Take two.
You have a push-up.
You have push-up men.
Push-up men. Yeah, push-up men. Take two men, two little people, and take one of their hands and one for each and just push them up. It's a liberating experience.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Have they ever pushed up too hard and you're just like, oh, no, it's too hard.
It's not that they push up too hard. It's that they like try to sneak tickles. And I really hate it.
That's annoying. There needs to be more professionalism.
Exactly. I pay them a very hefty sum.
What do you pay them? What is that position?
Because Joe's interested.
Yeah,
I'm just curious.
Joe, if you want to know, it's $400 an hour. You'll have a work uniform. If you need to get it cleaned, it does count as a business expense, but
four times
a month.
I'm saying maybe I'm going to hire ball handlers.
Oh, you want my ball handlers. Okay.
I want my own ball handlers.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I've trademarked it.
Shit.
You can't legally in the continental... If you want to go to Hawaii and Alaska, you're more than welcome to get your balls handled, but in the continental United States, I will literally sue you for copyright infringement if I see it.
And that's where we're at in the episode.
Yeah. But well, legally speaking, I don't think that would hold up. I think that those states still technically count, but...
I'm sorry, Lars. Did you just say my ball handlers won't hold up? Because you haven't seen how good these boys are at their job, have you?
Where'd you find them?
Craigslist. If anything,
it's all complete bullshit based on that one picture.
Well, you know what's funny? They contacted me. I didn't even know I needed it. And I went, yeah, I'll try it.
Oh, they saw you and they thought, maybe.
Yeah, they went, his balls look sizable, I guess. I don't know.
Mm, bop, 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 bop.
Yeah, that's what they were singing the whole time.
That's how we started talking about this.
All right, you know, have you seen Willy Wonka? That's a stupid question, but you know the yes. Oompa Loompas, how they come up, they're like Oompa Loompa. So when I'm gonna make out public appearances and I don't want to put on my extra steel reinforced boxer briefs, I pull a little pan flute out from my desk and I do a little, and then they come into my room and they start going Oompa. Dop bop doo bop, and then right there on cue they just right in their hands under my taint, grabbing hold, and then as we move they go dop bop doo, yeah yeah.
I just imagine like one guy has his hand on one ball and the other guy's hand on the other ball, and they're like dancing,
yeah,
with their full body dancing while their hand is remaining mostly silent, just doing like maybe a lift and drop.
You know what the big problem is, though? They're like magical creatures. Anytime anyone else looks at them, they disappear. I don't understand it. They're like the Keebler elves. Only I can see them and feel them.
Oh, and they and right. You said from Home Depot?
No, you guys are from Home Depot. They came from Craigslist.
Okay.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Perfect. Oh,
speaking good. If you keep getting these facts wrong, man, I might just withhold your Subway sandwich lunch that I promised. Let's not slip up.
No.
You don't want to withhold that.
Oh no, not a Subway sandwich. Am I allowed to even say that on a podcast with ads?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Yeah, I don't think that Mint Mobile competes with Subway, but
you don't know, man. I mean, maybe Subway is going to sneak its way into the cell phone provider market. You don't know.
They already have Subway.tv. T1podcast.com.
Yeah, try the new Jared special.
Oh, wow.
It's so big, you'll barely be able to fit it. Oh, boy.
Just like the age of the people he's interested in.
Right.
Plans start at under $10.
Or under age 10, whatever you prefer. Or Jared special. Yeah, bop da bop.
It's funnier if you get the words wrong, like bop.
It's a good way to segue out of anything dark that you don't want to talk about.
Speaking of segueing out of the dark, Joe.
Yeah.
You know how back in the day we used to tell a lot of bad date stories?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
By the way, we can cut this if you don't want to talk about it.
No. It's okay. It's just the news hasn't spread that far. I have a girlfriend. And I've had one for the past long while now, so I just have not been on dates. It's like, I don't know. I don't have any other ones.
How long have you been dating?
Okay.
Let's talk about that.
More than a year.
Let's talk about your personal life.
Let's not, Joe.
I know.
No, by all means, I'm an open book. It's just I get asked for date stories. So I guess to fill in your lovely audience who will do nothing but say I was the best guest on the entire show's history. I on my own personal podcast, I had a very long ring for a while where I told bad date stories, and I have been on some real zonkers. Like, just only meeting women on the internet will do that.
I think you might be able to get away with telling one of them, since not everyone
sure
that listens to us listens to the OP.
Okay, I'll yeah, but anyway, to just quick finish that point, I've had a girlfriend for about over a year now, so a lot of people are still like, tell me a bad date story. It's like, I don't know, we went to Taco Bell together and the food wasn't good. I don't know.
Oh.
I'll tell probably my favorite one that I've done.
PSC, if you've listened to the official podcast, then this may be a tale you've already heard. You should listen to it anyway, if so, though, you little bitch. Why do you not support Andrew? You'll listen and you'll like it.
And this is a real story. I don't lie to impress people on the internet, except about everything. But I met a girl on OkCupid, and she seemed like a nice, if kind of just reserved and normal chick. She was fresh out of college, I think, or rather that age. I don't think she went to college. And I was at work, and I was getting off of work early, and she was like, hey, you should just come over and hang out, we can get lunch and, you know, watch stuff on Netflix, and, you know, it'd be like a date, because I hadn't met her in person before. I had not. So I'm like, yeah, that sounds fun, you know, whatever. So I left. She gave me her address, which, you know, in general terms, I think that's kind of weird. You don't give your address to someone you haven't met before for a first date. But I was like, eh, fuck it. You know, I'm probably not going to go inside. I'll just pick her up. We'll go do some whatever. And I get to her house, and it's a trailer park. And she lives in a trailer. And I went, okay, you know, whatever. That's fine. I'm not gonna judge. Fine. So I pull up to her house, and she comes out, and she is about 5 foot 5'1", very short. I'm 6'4". This is very, I'm not trying to make the ladies out there sweat, but
they're already
very
sweating.
Relevant
don't
to the story.
Oh
yeah, I said hello, and I think I ended 3 marriages just coming on the show. But So I'm a 6'4" man, and she's about 5 feet tall, and I step out of my car and I say, "Hey, how you doing?" And as the very first thing she does is walks very close to me and looks up at me and goes, "You're tall." I'm like, "Yeah."
That's weird.
She's like,
yeah.
"You're so tall." And I was like, I am.
Good first impression
yes.
so far. I don't see anything.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Good. No red flags whatsoever.
Her observation skills are perfectly intact.
Oh, at least she didn't need glasses. That's what worried me the most. You know, I can't date anyone who can't see me. That'd be weird. So as we're standing outside, we actually instigate a normal conversation where I'm like, "Hey, what'd you do today? How you doing? I was at work, this and that." And I'm like leaning against my car. Because I went, you know, maybe I could just get back in and just leave.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I could go, "Well, see ya," or something. But I was newer to the dating scene. I was naive. Whatever. So as we're standing outside, she points across the street. Across the street. And there is a redneck looking man. I swear to God, like a John Deere poster boy, like a beer gut, blue, sweaty T-shirt, wearing a hat, this and that. And he's having a yard sale. And on the other side of the table at the yard sale is Santa Claus, like a really, really fat dude wearing a full sleeve shirt tucked into his pants. And he's got a really long beard and he's bald and this and that. It was basically if you put him in a red suit and a hat, it would look 100% like Santa Claus.
Literally Santa. Oh, I was really confused. OK,
no, thank God it wasn't Santa. Otherwise, I would have lost my Christmas magic there. But she said to me, "That's my dad." And to this day, I don't know which one was her dad. But I want to believe it was the Santa Claus looking guy. But she just had to point that out. And she didn't say hello. She didn't like call him over or anything. She just went, "That's my dad." And I went, "Well, do you want to say hello? Or like, you know, should I say hi?" And she went, "Nah." And then she just walked inside and she was like, "Come on in." And I went, "Well, okay, this is where I die. I guarantee it." So we walk in the house and she has about 9 cats in the trailer. As well as like, I think 3 dogs outside. This was a long while ago, so I don't remember every detail, but it was covered in pets and cat sure. habitats and this shit and this and that. I was like, okay,
fuck.
And I walk in the room and her mom is sitting on the couch and her mom is actually a normal human being. And she's like, "Hi, it's nice to meet you. I don't know, Dianis or whatever the fuck her name was."
Dianis.
And I'm like, "Hi." Yeah, the normal woman name who lives in this trailer park.
Diana Cello.
Right. She was evolving. And she said, you know, "Hi, what do you do?" And this, and "You're hanging out with my daughter." I'm like, "Yes." And I met her on the...
How old were both of you at the time?
I was probably 22 and she was like 19.
Oh, okay.
I would say nothing about what I was doing was like off. You know, I met her online. The age was pretty close.
Yeah. I was just curious because she sounded kind of young.
Yeah. Yeah. And every conversation we had was perfectly fine. We were talking about like she liked anime and I was like, "Oh, which ones do you like?" And I was like, she's like, "What do you do for work?" And blah, 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 blah. So while I'm talking to her mom, she's jumping, literally physically jumping. And at first, I don't know what's going on. And then it turns out she's trying to touch the top of my head.
What?
Oh, dear.
Because she is so short, she can't reach it. And she's literally trying to, like, bat me on top. And when I look at her, she's just like, "You're tall." You know, it's like, it's fun. Ha ha, wee hee, you're tall. And I think at one point, I'm trying to have a normal human adult conversation with her mom. So while she's doing this, I looked at her like a child and went, "Stop." Like I literally scolded her like a bad pet. And that's what I probably should have went, "I'm just going to leave." But I didn't because I was having too much fun.
Talking to the
then,
mom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So her mom was like, then her and her mom got into a small fight because they didn't know if I was staying for dinner. And she was like, "Is he staying for dinner? Because if he is, I need to defrost more chicken. I need to know if he's staying for dinner." And they're like going back and forth. And this, and I was trying to speak. I'm like, "Listen, I thought I was taking her to lunch. I wasn't planning on staying for dinner," whatever. So eventually her mom goes, "Well, I'm going to start cooking dinner and blah, 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 blah." So she invites me to her room and she goes, "Well, yeah, no, we'll hang out in my room." And I go in her room And I think I see what's happened here. It's she is a what's like the feminine version of man child?
A woman child.
I don't know.
A woman. She is a woman child. She is 19 years old. She has apparently not gone to college. Her room is decorated in kid shit.
Why are there children's fecal matter?
Like children's poopy. Because then at that moment, the gaggle of kids came bursting out of her closet. Hey, look, she said she was 19. The profile listed her as 19. It said her birthday, this and that. So if she actually wasn't 19, I don't know.
Yeah, people are questioning that in the chat, but I it seems safe to assume.
I mean, look, even then, to give a bit of spoilers, nothing happened with her. So I am completely clear of any and all legal ramifications. So I got in the room and she gets on her bed and clearly, very clearly leaves a spot for me to sit. Like she's got a queen size bed or I don't know, a decent size. And she is very clearly going, Andrew, this half of the bed is where you sit. I pull the chair out from her desk and sit there just to maybe give her the clue that this ain't happening. No, thank you. I'm here to be polite by this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because I literally had no way of getting out of it. So she goes on Netflix and she starts looking at the anime and she's like, well, what do you want to watch? What do you want to do? And I'm like, oh, Dead Man Wonderland. That's a good anime. Put that on now. Put it on immediately. Don't look at me. Don't talk to me. Because she obviously wanted to Netflix and chill. Whereas I wanted to Netflix and distract, hoping that I could use it to get the fuck out of there or actually watch something and leave.
So it sounds like at this point you're looking for any way out.
Yeah, I was my plan at that point was I'm going to put it on. We'll watch an episode. Then maybe the dinner will be ready and I could be all like, well, you know, we'll go. I'm going to go or something. I wanted to stall. So she put on the show and we're watching it. She's very clearly like expecting me to get in the bed. And I'm really, really thinking she wanted, I don't know if she wanted me to fuck her, if she wanted like to make out. I don't know. She wanted something. She wanted my physicality. So by this point, I am so desperate. I have sent 9 different text messages to 9 of my friends saying, please call my phone and pretend I have to leave. Please do that. Say whatever you need to.
Maybe she wanted to play patty cake.
Oh, she wanted to show me the kids in the closet and show me their favorite games.
Ooh.
So eventually one of my friends responds and I answer my phone and I go, hello. And he goes,
hello, Andrew. Did you forget that you're needed at work right now?
And I kind of like put it not on speaker, but I maximized the volume so that she could hear it. And I went, wait a minute. Do you mean? And he goes,
yes, Andrew, you need to come back to work now.
And I went, do you mean the blue report? And he went,
yes, the blue report. You have to get that finished today, remember?
And I went, ah, geez. All right. And I hung up and I looked at her and I went, I got to go. I got to finish the blue report today. I forgot all about it. Ladies and gentlemen, I worked software development. I hadn't done a report once the entire time I worked there.
Oh, you were faking it.
I was a fibby boy. I told a fib.
Did you get away at that point?
So what I did is I told her, you know, oh, I'm sorry. I got to leave. I got to head back to the office. And she was very clearly disappointed, but she was like, okay. And like she did that thing where kids get like really upset and they get all like crumpy and pouty. Yeah. Which is, again, another reason I could tell she was a woman child. And as I was leaving, her mom is sitting on the couch while stuff is cooking and I'm saying my goodbyes. And she's like, you know, I unfortunately have to leave. And she's like, you sure you can't stay for dinner and this and that, whatever. So the conversation eventually turns so that she's saying like for next time, because she's assuming I'm going to come back. And she's like, well, next time I'll cook you dinner and I'll have a little more forefront and, you know, we'll be a little more aware that you're coming so we can plan something. Like, her mom was very nice. Her mom was an actual normal person.
What state was this in?
Florida. This was actually like probably half an hour from where I worked. Okay. And I worked in South Florida.
Okay.
So the conversation is, you know, normal, whatever. And as I'm talking to her, her mom looks at her. I don't remember what led to it, but she goes, did you tell him about me? And she went, no. Yeah, kinda. And her mom looked me dead in the eyes and she says, well, I have cancer.
What?
Oh,
yeah. And I went, oh, I'm so sorry. And then for the next 20 minutes, she kept me there. She told me all the problems of having cancer.
The mom, right?
The mom. where it's like, she's like, oh, my truck broke down and I can't get to the doctor, so I got to ask her uncle for a ride. And like this whole like life story, this whole just, and I can't just leave while she's telling me this. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I mean, that sucks.
But yeah, I could have, but asshole of the century.
I know. So by the when she finally finished and made herself super depressed, I went, well, I gotta go. Bye. And I walked very fast to my car and she followed me out there and she was doing that pouty thing again. And I went, yeah, we'll hang out again. I'm sorry. We'll hang out again. I'm very sorry. I know. Look, I gotta go. It's not my fault. I gotta get back to work. You know, the longer I get, the longer it takes me to get there, the longer I have to stay. And eventually I got in the car. I drove away. I made sure to wave at her dad as I left because they were watching by this point.
Oh, the two dads, yeah.
The two dads, yeah. Whichever one of her was her dad, I waved hello. I waved to both of them, so I covered my bases. The next day, I was at work. I was literally in the middle of work. It was like 2 p.m., and she texted me. Or not texted. I gave her like a WhatsApp or one of those like chatting things, and she said, you should come over again. And I went, I'm at work. I can't do that. And she was like, yeah, I'm sorry it was awkward. I just figured that you and I would snuggle. And that's when I deleted her and blocked her. And that's where that story ends.
And how many times did you go out with her again?
Only 3 more times before I learned my lesson.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you guys ended up snuggling?
No, you know, I believe it or not, I resisted the temptation.
Oh, that's such restraint.
So she wanted me to get physically intimate in her house while her mom was there and dad was across the street, while her mom is dropping bombshells of cancer and cooking us dinner, all while anime is playing.
Yeah. Well, I feel like even if she was like a good catch or something, that would still be really awkward.
Oh, yeah. She wasn't even like that attractive. It wasn't even that situation where it's like, you know, I don't want to and it's weird, but she's a 10 out of 10. I have to. There was nothing in that scenario that would have driven me towards wanting to. But apparently she was good to go.
Queen of Waffles says, at least she had cats?
Oh, that's the kicker. I'm allergic to cats.
No, so just none of them crawling around?
I am too, by the way.
Oh, God, it sucks. I'm allergic to pet dander. So the whole time I was there, I was just kind of like itchy and occasionally sniffly. So even worse for wanting to get busy.
That is a truly terrible story.
Yeah.
Not the way that you told it, just the events that you have told us.
Look, man, I don't have a lot of interesting stories of my life. I'm openly a boring man who doesn't do a lot, but that is the one story. I swear to God, I have not embellished. I do not play up. All of that happened as I said it, and it is probably the best story I have.
Yeah, it's classic.
Thank you for sharing. I enjoyed it a lot.
So, got a shitload of more questions. Let me see if there's any like really good ones on here.
Sure.
Nope.
Oh, no. Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah, we should probably plug our other sponsor. That's correct, Joe.
Yes, that's what I said. That's what I was getting at.
Go ahead.
NordVPN. Have you ever asked yourself, is it really safe to connect to this Starbucks Wi-Fi, this airport Wi-Fi? Is that guy over there trying to hack my laptop? And the answer is yes. But there is something you can do to protect yourself. Get NordVPN.
Yes, Watch Dogs 2 is real, folks. You need a VPN. You just do. And NordVPN is one of the cheapest out there. You get a lot of bang for your buck. And I just talked over Joe, so I'm going to let him talk.
Oh, you ever say to yourself, oh, I really want to watch The Office in French. Or I wonder what Netflix is like in Brazil. But you can't access it because you don't have the leasing and the NordVPN. You can be fucking anywhere.
Yeah. Or let's say that you're suspicious that you're being throttled by your ISP.
And let's be honest, you are.
Yes, you probably are. Especially if you're on Netflix or YouTube or Twitch or any of the other major streaming platforms.
Hulu.
NordVPN is a good way to get around that. And how much does that cost per month, Joel?
$4 a month.
Four?
Just four. And don't they get 70% off?
No, they get 75% off when they use the coupon code. Ooh. Andrew, what is the name of this podcast?
That would be the first podcast, Lars.
Yes, minus the Lars. That's the checkout code at nord.t1podcast.com.
We almost went with the first podcast, Lars.
Yeah, right. That would have been a terrible name. I'm glad we changed it.
You could change it to the first podcast, Andrew. I'd be okay with that.
Okay. I mean, it's going to kill the show, but...
Yeah, that's fine. Don't worry about it. It'll be funny. They'll love it.
Great joke, Andrew.
Thanks for joining us for another exciting episode of the first podcast, Andrew.
And, oh, that would weird me out. Man, if I was someone else out there named Andrew and I was listening to the show and you just out of nowhere changed it to the first podcast, Andrew, hearing my name like that would just weird me the fuck out.
By the way, Kyle, if you're listening to this, thanks for listening.
Yeah, fuck you, Derek. You know what you did.
Okay, so yes, nord.t1podcast.com, the first podcast, all words, all one word at the checkout. Go ahead and check them out on our behalf to get 75% off your first subscription. Let's get to some questions now before Joe rudely interrupted me and reminded me that we need to make some money off of this podcast. Rump asks, I need to know if you're really from Norway. That question's actually directed towards me, and No, that's just my heritage.
What part of Norway?
Ryan from your Discord, Andrew, asks if he's...
Andrew said, what part of Norway?
I said, what part of Norway? Joe, can Joe and I have a private conversation for a minute here?
Yeah, let's go into the other channel.
Yeah,
one
second.
Let's go into talking business.
Okay, here we are in the other channel. Joe, I just don't think this Lars guy's...
While I'm waiting for them to get
You know what?
Back.
He can be a little dense sometimes.
Like,
but,
seriously, I told that really, really funny story. He only laughed twice. Like, what the fuck?
Well, I think that he was just waiting for his time to talk.
Oh, thank you, that is so like Lars. Thank you. Someone finally said it. Fucking God. That Lars guy. Like, come on, dude.
You know what?
I wonder what they're talking about.
Oh, hey!
Here's
Lars! That concludes my essay on why Lars is so handsome.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. By the way.
That's not what we were talking about. You were just saying that Lars was just waiting for his...
Joe, you're killing me, Smalls. Lars, can we go to a private channel for a minute here? I gotta talk to you about something.
Yeah, hold on one second.
They actually left.
Oh, wow, you actually moved us.
There, and I've been waiting for this moment the whole time.
I just gotta say, Joe's doing a great job, and he contributes a lot to the podcast, and it wouldn't be the same without him.
That's true.
All right.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
Go ahead and submit any questions you have for me.
He makes me smile. He makes me laugh.
The new host.
He's just all around a great guy.
Lars is still gonna edit it, because I don't really have that part down.
All right, We're back. There might be some changes coming in the newer episodes of the show.
Oh, yes, there will be. Yes, there will be.
Joe's not going to like what we talked about.
Oh, you guys
aren't going to like what we talked about.
What did you guys talk about?
You'll see.
Okay. Anyway, okay, so here's an actual question for you.
Yes.
Fake Not Real 35 asks, when and where you first watched Kung Pao and why you are so hooked on it, Lars? Well, he's asking me, like, why is he so hooked on it, Lars? I should have written this out differently.
Lars, why are you so obsessed with it?
Apparently you reference it every day and they don't know why on your Discord /Twitch/ stuff.
So when I was a small child, my humor was developing. I don't like to believe I was actually funny until the end of college. And until then, I was just different combinations of loud and annoying. And also mean and spiteful, because I thought that could be funny as well, when you make fun of others. And
it's relatable.
Exactly. And it only took until that point where I went, wow, okay, this is actual comedy. I'm still learning. I'm still garbage. But up throughout my life, I believe there were many defining medias in what kind of comedy I enjoy. And Kung Pao is just one of them, where I distinctly remember as a kid when it came out. I think it came out 2002. I saw it after it had released on Comedy Central, and I like watched bits and snippets of it. You know, when you come in a movie halfway through and you just go, oh, whatever, fuck it, I'll just watch it. Or you just get home and you put on TV. And I remember the parts that I saw, the snippets in my brain, I went, holy fuck, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And it took all that time of like remembering it and forgetting about it and remembering it and forgetting about it and watching clips and going, I should watch that whole movie. And then eventually, my friends in college, we would do a movie night like twice a month. And one of those times we brought Kung Pao and we went, yeah, let's all watch it together. And I finally, in all of its glory, got to see the entire movie.
Wait, did you just say the entire Moody?
Yeah, but yeah, it sounded like you said the entire Moody.
Yeah, we would have
a rewind.
This episode is also dedicated to Mrs. Ashley Hugbees of Fuller's Earth, Arizona, because we like saying the word Hugbees. Go ahead, try it. Hugbees.
Hugbees!
Hugbees! Hugbees!
Moose!
Oh, I guess that is what you said.
Oh, I guess you did say movie. Okay. That makes sense.
Good. Oh, well, no, I was going to say we had moody nights where we'd sit in a circle and pass kisses around.
Did you say booby nights?
No.
All right, rewind.
All right, we'll do two gags in a row.
So I'm sitting there, barbecue sauce on my titties.
Oh, okay. All right.
Great. I guess that is what you said.
But yeah, to finish up that boring story, it hit in all the right places for me to go, yes, this is the sense of humor I want. And ever since I saw it in college, every time I meet people, I'm like, hey, do you want to know what I find funny? Watch this movie. And since then, I have seen it probably 14 different times. Mm-hmm. And it always makes me laugh. So now I reference it all the time.
Okay.
And that's it. Did you say let's flossum? Rewind.
Rewind.
Colonel, I'm trying to sneak around, but I'm dummy thick, and the clap of my ass cheeks keeps alerting the guards.
Oh, see, I'm good at it. Yeah.
Ooh, bop, dop, dee,
okay. Both of you, shut up. Hold up. Okay.
So, hey, I'm on Team Joe here.
Thank you.
We're all on Team Joe. He's a great guy. Yeah.
Thank you, Lars. You never say that privately.
Oh, you're gonna like the side conversation that we had then.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So,
I'm so glad I'm gonna like the side conversation.
Shut up, Joe.
All right. Just moving on.
Okay.
I'm just happy to be here.
Okay. Now that he's server muted,
I too would like to interrupt you, Lars.
Thanks. Andrew.
No problem.
Okay. Let's say that you suddenly found yourself in a society. It's a closed off society in which the only meaningful long-term relationships that exist within this culture are.
Well, now you now have that, been muted.
Now that Lars is muted, I can finish the question. Just kidding. I just unmuted Lars.
Lars, go right ahead. Please. It's your show. I don't know why you're not.
And now Andrew's serving,
so he has to shut up too. Okay, so let's say, and the relationship in question, the only one that exists within this culture that's long-lasting emotional, is arranged marriages at 18 years old to bug Pokemon.
Ooh.
What would you do?
Ooh, there are so many hot bug types now. Oh, man.
So that's where you went with
that. Well, here's the thing, and this is a pattern that I think everyone can agree with me on here. Pokemon, over the years, has become more and more humanized and more anime designed. So I'm a what they call a Gen 1-er. I'm not even really, but I grew up with Pokemon. It was my first game ever when I was 5, back when Red and Blue came out, and I've been into this fucking stupid 90s craze since it started. And let me tell you, man, the new Pokemon that they pump out for the most part, They know what they're doing. They know that there is a big old audience out there of people who are only and obsessively jacking off to these things.
Yeah.
And the ratio now for certain bugs out there, you can probably find something you'd want to be married to.
Speaking of the ratio in question.
Yeah.
We've asked this a couple times on different episodes, and my answer to this question, if I had to choose, which, like, my actual answer would be I'd want to leave the culture, but like, if I was forced to answer, I would want to get married to Buzzswole.
Look at that.
Because that's Lars's type.
Right.
Well, it's a bug type.
Right.
And the benefit to being married to Buzzswole is you can ride on its back and, like, claim the souls of your enemies with it. Like, it's a mobile death tank.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm gonna give you some counter arguments here. I'm just scrolling through the list because there are
the list of counter arguments to marrying Buzzswole.
So there are 3 counter arguments to Buzzswole, and I'm gonna present them in order. If you want, like, a fine looking lady to take out on the night and, like, show to others, Vespa Queen is literally wearing a formal dress at all times and secretes honey. Why would you not? Do you get what I'm saying here?
And speaking of honey, no, that's actually not our sponsor. Never mind.
Then there's the second one, where, remember how I mentioned that as Pokemon went on and on, there were clearly some men in that game designing boardroom that went, you know what? Yes, I would like to fuck these Pokemon. May I present to you Pheromosa. Now, yeah, you look at that. You look Pheromosa in the eyes and you tell me that is a bug type. You tell me they didn't know what they were doing.
Well, it's a supermodel.
Right. It's literally a supermodel. Yes.
6'1", 110 pound supermodel.
And you got to remember, that is a bug type, which is supposed to be based on bugs. And literally, we are looking at a high fashion model.
And I know that this is a audio podcast, but Queen of Waffles says, looks like a butt plug.
Yeah. Which, you know, if
not one I'd want to use.
Right. But I don't know how big it is, but hopefully like human size.
Vespa Queen, by the way, is 3'11".
AXL posts notes in the chat that it's a stick insect. Maybe Alex would be interested in it.
Yeah. I don't know. Get some sounding going on. There's no limits.
No.
But what I got to say, though, is Buzzwole is still wrong. Because at the end of the day, there's this little man, there's this little guy named Mega Sizzle. Now, you might be thinking, what an impractical husband or wife. I don't see what you get out of that. Chainsaws for hands. I rest my case.
It's a solid argument.
You know what? Well, you're wrong, but we'll give it to you since you're the guest. That's fine.
Yeah. I would marry Mega Scizor purely because dealing with him would be a catastrophic, never-ending series of failure.
I've noticed something, by the way, and it's that Joe has avoided the answer to this question every single time.
Oh,
well, I also think there's a big difference in the answer of which Pokemon would you marry and which one would you fuck.
Fuck,
I think those
marry,
are
marry kill.
Yeah,
you have to.
Well, you have over 600 choices. You could find something.
I think it's going to be up to 1,000 with a new game.
Well,
really? No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they're at like 900 something at least.
My answer for this question, because the question isn't which one would you marry, it's what would you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, we kind of morphed it into that question, yeah. Joe.
If it has to be like which would you marry, I'd have to think about it. Because there's not a good answer. I mean, really, the answer is none of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the big question. Like, Lars, you would marry Buzzwole. You want to rub his succulent bug-type pecs and look in his eyes and this and that.
Well, they're actually, like, fluid sacs. We looked this up on the Pokédex.
Even better. Now, the question is, though, would you copulate with him?
I really wouldn't want to do that part of it.
See?
Ooh.
See? That's where it differs. That's the difference.
You know what? Mm-hmm. This is my answer.
That's not a bug type.
Oh wait, yeah, that's Weeping Bell, sorry.
Fuck off, that's grass and poison. Don't challenge me on this.
Sorry.
No,
that would
come
have been
on.
A great answer.
Look, man,
otherwise,
all right, if we're just posting Pokemon, we're gonna fuck. May I present to you Game Freak's horrible hidden fetish. Ladies and gentlemen, they put yoga pants on a Pokemon.
I think if it hadn't been unlocked already, Mega Lopunny may have unlocked some things in people.
Yeah, literal hot yoga pants and braids its hair.
Yeah.
Game Freak knows what they're doing.
They really do. I mean, like, I knew what you were talking about in the abstract, but you're really showing me cold, hard evidence of it.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that picture of the Doug Trio that has the three of them
Doug
underground?
Trio?
Doug Trio, yeah, that has the three.
Doug Trio?
Underground. It looks like this.
Oh, yeah. Ah. Yeah, well, that's what I always imagined as a kid, you know, with my normal, healthy childhood.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm not going to link every fucking picture in the show notes. This is just a picture of Doug Trio, and it's a bunch of ripped dudes in banana hammocks.
Most people have probably seen it already.
And you can probably guess.
And then they really gave credence to that. I think it was the Alolan Doug Trio, where they gave them all, like, flowing blonde wigs.
Yeah, wasn't it based on the Three Stooges or something?
I know one of them looks exactly like He-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, at the end of the day, man, times changed with Pokemon. Well, there's a whole argument out there like the designs have gotten worse and this and that. I'm not saying that at all, but 100% they have played towards what some of the audience wants, for sure.
I mean, I'm also fans of some of the later designs themselves, just artistically, but yeah, there is some fetish fuel in there for sure.
So let's start a big fight. So Lars, Joe, you guys sound like you're up and up with what the kids like. I'm sure you're aware of the Sword and Shield announcements and reveals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's say
Joe, stop mowing the lawn, dude.
Okay.
Who are you picking?
I'm one of those like dweebs that takes a look at like the gym layout and sees kind of like,
oh, you're a try hard.
Yeah.
Try hard.
Yeah.
No, succeed well.
No, Karen tier, my friend. The best trainers win with their favorites.
I'm an expert in the latest Pokemon Sword and
You don't even know the other name?
Sword and Shield.
Sword and Gun, Joe. Come on.
Sword and Gun. Sword and Pastrami.
They're coming to the Switch this year, and to demonstrate my knowledge, I would just have to, you know, describe. During the latest Nintendo Direct live stream this morning.
Go ahead and point them out.
Nintendo finally provided some details about it. This game is called Pokemon
Thank
Sword.
Thank you for reading an article, Joe.
I'm not reading. I'm not reading an article, Lars. So
He's at his local library looking up Pokemon.
Yeah.
Oh, I hear that scrolling. Oh, that's frantic looking for the diagram scrolling in an article. I know that.
Yeah, we keep Joe a lot on this show.
No. Despite the secrecy about the next mainline adventure, Pokemon has been busy of late. Last year saw the launch of Pokemon Let's Go, which I also knew and I'm an expert on. It's a pair of Switch games that combine traditional RPG gameplay with a more streamlined structure of Pokemon Go. The result was arguably the most approachable game in the series to date. Pokemon Go, meanwhile, continues to go strong, most recently adding an advanced AR photo mode. And later this year, the live-action film Detective Pikachu.
You did it, Joe. You can read.
No, I was just reading.
We were kind of questionable on that for a while. I'm glad he finally.
I wasn't reading. I was reciting, remembering.
Oh, you can't read?
I could. Then I could if I wanted to. I just wasn't.
Joe, shut up. Let our esteemed guest talk.
Okay. No, it's just I want to save Joe from this fucking quicksand death pit he dug himself into.
Sure.
You know how kids like things, and now the current thing to like is Fortnite, and it is literally fully migrated into your children will like this and play it?
Yeah.
Where do you think that leaves things like Pokemon? Where they are aimed and marketed towards children, but they have this giant both nostalgia and adult, both for family-friendly entertainment and just appeal factor. It's weird to think about, I think.
What's your question, though?
So my question is, how do you think it's going to blossom from there? Because now you have Fortnite that started as just a general thing, and now it is very clearly a kids-focused thing. Whereas you have other things that started out as kids' things and have become an adult or full-on anybody-focused thing, like Pokemon. So do you think that the future, that it would be a good idea for them to kind of... Like, what I'm asking is, do you think we'll start seeing them branch into that? Like, edgy Pokemon, dark Pokemon stories, maybe, like, adult-themed Pokemon stuff? Like, for example, Detective Pikachu has, like, car explosions and, like, underground fighting rings and all this shit. And while it's not going full-on, I have a gun and I will shoot you for my heroin slut, it clearly is doing darker and grittier things compared to most of the content.
They do have a strip club for bug Pokemon in that game.
Oh, thank God. Finally. They're listening to the fans. Scizor, here I come.
Oh, yeah. Come is an orgasm. So here's my question, though. Do you think there's room for that? Because I think there is.
Exactly.
I would watch that / play it.
And that's where another argument comes in. That's already existed in the world of fan content. Like, you could easily go out there and find comics or fan fiction, even fan games where they, like, there's violence and drugs and adulterer stuff. I played a fucking fan game called Pokemon Dawn, which is literally Pokemon meets Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, I thought you meant Pokemon Dawn like as in Donald. Okay.
No. It's Pokemon meeting Dawn of the Dead, and you literally play as the edgy dude from Pokemon Silver, and you have to use your Pokemon to fight off zombies during an apocalypse. And like, there's a scene where a dude gets bit, and you have to do the classic, like, cut his arm off so he doesn't become a zombie. And it's like, this is Pokemon fan game. Fine. But do you think the Pokemon as a whole is going to start shifting towards this darker material? Does it make sense? Do you think culturally we want that?
You think there's like a cultural shift that direction and everything is getting more like violent? And that's...
I don't know.
See, that was the problem in the 80s, where everything was darker and grittier and everyone swore and everything was violent, but the kids ate it up. Now it's kind of the opposite, where it's like you have things being fluffy and light and fun, like Fortnite... Started as Fortnite, now it's like they got the dances, they got the wacky shopping carts. It's Thanos and he can dab. Oh my God, my elementary school's gonna love it. But, you know, that's what the kids are digging and wanting. They want all the memes and all the culture and all the, like, you know, the wacky zany shit. Whereas all this other stuff, you know, do you think it would be profitable and in a good idea for them to start just branching into this more, I don't know, adult material?
I think it depends on how many...
I think they absolutely should. But I kind of see it as more like a side thing. I don't think that they will insert that into the mainline games because first and foremost, it is marketed towards children. But yeah, I mean, it'd be really cool if there was like a Pokemon for adults or something that, that didn't hold your hand as much with like, they didn't have to like explain it, everything in text. Like they can just show that it was a critical hit, for example.
Right.
And they don't need like tutorials and stuff. And then they can get into some darker themes. I am all for that. And I'm going to call up Mr. Nintendo after this episode and definitely recommend it. But
yeah. Mr. Mario Nintendo, ask him what he thinks.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, Doug Bowser, by the way, just throwing that out there again.
It's fucking brilliant, man.
We've discussed that on the podcast before. Just always want to mention it.
It's fucking brilliant.
Tej mentions in the chat that apparently the manga or the manga, they've gotten into it a couple times with like an Arbok getting decapitated and stuff.
Yeah. In the manga, it plays out a little different than the anime, the show. And Ash has Charizard with him. And Charizard's like, he's like, go get him, Charizard, you fuck. And the guy that he's fighting also has a Charizard. And I distinctly remember in the manga, Ash calls off the fight because Charizard's about to die.
Yeah.
Like the other Charizard is like biting him in the neck and he's drawing blood and he's just absolutely fucking him up. And Ash quits because he's like, I don't want you to die, Charizard, you fucker.
He's very mean to his Charizard.
I remember as a kid reading into it because the internet was how I realized I wanted to be Japanese and it was better than everything. It was like, well, in Japan, it's grittier and more violent and stuff happens. Like it happened back with the show where they had episodes in Japan where James would get fake tits and they would have guns. You guys remember that? There was an episode of Pokemon that got cut from America because it had guns in it.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like, it was back then, it was a cultural thing. It was like, well, Japan is more lax on these things. And, you know, culturally, they don't have as much of a problem. In America, we have all the censorship and this and that. But these days, it's not that at all. You have guns and all sorts of other shit.
That episode would come out today if just fine.
Oh, 100%. 100% it would come out today. And even if it did and they had a problem, they'd find a way in the dub to work it over. Like, these are pellet guns. They won't kill you, but they really hurt or something. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You kind of nailed the exaggerated kind of ha-ha voice that they use sometimes.
Oh, I've been watching the new Pokemon episodes. And let me tell you, the dub is atrocious now. It is just nothing but overacting and like talking down to children.
Can you give us like a 5-second clip in that voice about how you're listening to the first podcast?
You're listening to the first podcast. It's a podcast on the internet for everyone to take part in. Wow, sounds great. I can't wait to listen.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, just that shit. But it's just interesting to see how our culture has shifted where, you know, now we wouldn't have problems with those things, but we still don't really do them. You know what I mean? We still shy away from it.
Yeah, because I think it's kind of like one of those things where they started that way and they're probably hesitant to... Pokemon is not a series of innovation for the most part.
No, like, not really.
At all. Like, they have some new stuff every generation, but it's pretty... Other than, like, abilities and stuff, it hasn't really changed the game too much. Like, like the island, the Kahunas are still kind of like the gym leaders, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Dob has linked an image in the chat of a Charizard without limbs. That's really disturbing. Thank you.
Dob needs to stop.
Stay tuned for Charizard without limbs. What's he gonna do next?
Nothing, because he can't move.
Because he's living a tortured existence.
I'm gonna use that Dob, please stop clip in the future. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And as he snakes around the world, he's lighting everything on fire.
Thanks, Joe.
God.
Okay. Okay.
One more. I'm just kidding. No.
Two things I kind of want to get to. One of them is just like a lightning round finishing off the rest of the questions. And the other one is, if you have time for this, by the way, I'm assuming you probably want to discuss a certain game that focuses on the 90s desktop experience.
Oh. Oh, don't. Oh, yes.
I think Andrew just came.
Oh.
You don't know, man. It tickles every part of my brain. It's a full-on sensory orgasm in the best parts of the word.
I caught like 15 minutes of your stream when you first started it up, and you just like continuous jizz.
Now, Lars, what was the URL of that stream?
That was patreon.com/T1podcast.
Fuck.
No, I think it's twitch.tv/HugbeesTV.
Yeah, just HugbeesTV on Twitch. Now Joe's getting it.
How do you spell Hugbees?
HUGGBEES. Two G's in there. HugbeesTV. But yeah, we can do the questions and then move on to that if you want. I am fine with that.
Yeah, because what ends up happening is, like, we get a ton of really good questions, but then we go off on a million rabbit trails like we've done with this episode.
Yeah,
so.
The questions first for sure, because I could talk about that game. I could have filled the whole episode with that game, and I haven't even beaten it. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Okay. Are you into yoga?
I tried hot yoga once and almost threw up.
Okay. All right, now let's get to the questions. I was just curious. No, that was actually from Chloe Hinks from some Discord, either mine or yours.
My brother is a big-ass hippie, and he lives in Oregon, and he took me to do yoga with him once, and it was hot yoga where you do it in, like, a sweat lodge, so you, like, get all the toxins out while you're bending. And for the first half of it, I was doing fine, and then I got super dizzy and almost threw up, so I had to stop. And I sat outside and felt really ashamed. So, yeah.
Okay. So, here's one from Shiny Pants, who asks, well, he asked me, you should ask Andrew about cloning himself. I promise he will love it.
That motherfucker.
Coleman Slosky, that's the nickname for Cole on this server, also says, we should ask you about immortality.
So, let me summarize this whole little fun thing. I am the hypothetical man on my own personal podcast. I'm the one who usually brings up the hypotheticals because I like content. Yes. And I like when we talk about fun
Those
things.
Those are the best parts of the podcast.
Dude, when I'm in the shower or falling asleep or waiting for something, I just come up with the stupidest fucking ideas and I go, I'm going to ask this as a question. So, in the past, I have brought up two hypotheticals, one related to cloning and the other related to immortality. And immortality is not as bad because it usually brings up the most discourse of people disagreeing, but I have received more hate mail on the cloning hypothetical than I have anything else in my life. People just did not like it. They thought I was stupid. They thought I was a moron. They thought I had no idea what I was talking about. They thought I was just being arrogant and stubborn when I wasn't just dismissing it. Oh boy, people are like, you ruined the episode. Yeah, really, you shouldn't do that again. You should never do hypotheticals, this and that. And I got so much shit in my inbox on Twitter over it that I, from that day forth, have decided I'm just never going to talk about clones again.
Okay. By the way, everyone is wrong about that. Like, you should respect Andrew. He's the hypothetical guy.
Thank you. It's a hard job. You got to come up with questions that you can't immediately answer, you know?
We have a pretty plain hypothetical question from a guest. Megan, who just says, ask him a good would you rather. So
I'm all ears. Go, Lars, that's your job. Go ahead.
Okay, so let's, do we really want to? Because this could be like another 45 minute rabbit trail. Do we have time for this? Because I have a good one.
You know what?
We can keep it brief.
Okay. All right. Keep it brief. Let's not do boxers this time. Okay. So let's say that a wizard approaches you on the street and says, you can either have $1 million right now, untaxed, you know, you just have it, cold hard cash, or they'll put it in your bank with a direct deposit, or you are given a microphone and 30 seconds on an audio file, and you can send that audio file back to your 15-year-old self, and your 15-year-old self will understand it as instructions for them. Which do you choose?
I would do the audio file, but I would just fart into it, and that's it.
Like for 30 straight seconds?
I would save it up. I would focus on it. I would meditate. I would eat the foods that I need to eat. And I'd go, it's time. And I'd send it to the portal. And 15-year-old me would just eat that shit up. And I would love it.
What's an audio file? You can't actually eat that, but yes.
Shit. Okay. No, what I would really do is I would absolutely take the audio file. And instructions? Honestly? Okay, if we're talking 15-year-old me, I think what I would do is give him a list of things to watch. I'd give him a list of movies, TV shows, YouTube video. YouTube probably wasn't even out back then. I'd give him a list of just everything to watch, whether it's out then or not, or if it's not out, I'd be like, watch this in the future, this and that, because I would want to shape my sense of humor as early as I could.
Okay.
Because I will be upfront and blunt with this. I did not have friends till I went to college. I was not a popular man. I was not well-liked. I kind of had friends towards the end of high school, but not really. Mm. College is when I finally was like, oh, I know how to be a likable person and be funny. Yeah, I've done it. Yay. So I think 15-year-old me would really appreciate just a list of like, here's how you shape your personality to actually be funny and likable and learn comedic timing and not just be annoying.
That's a good answer, because you kind of make money now based on that. So it's
I'm thinking ahead, baby, and then I'll make more than millions.
And I think it would be kind of obvious to include at least 1 second of, invest in AAPL.
Oh, yeah. Okay, all it would be is how to download and invest in Bitcoin. That's it.
I think for Joe, it'd probably be Dogecoin. He's a fan of that.
No, it would be Bitcoin.
Ah.
Did you boys get in on the bubble?
No.
Oh, I got in before the bubble, and I didn't sell it until after the bubble burst.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like,
I got in during the bubble, and now I'm a rich motherfucker.
Not at all. I got in at a good time, and I kept holding and holding and holding, and now I...
When did you get in?
Joe, who cares?
It's very interesting. It doesn't really matter.
All I'll say is it more than doubled in price when I got in, or before I got in, or after I got in. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, Rump asks your exact feelings on Judy Hopps. All right, answer as if your life depended on it, please.
Fuck her, love her, she's precious.
Okay. Megan asks, what's the most Floridian thing you've ever done, if that means something?
I go to Publix and order food.
Okay. That's, yeah. Yeah.
That's like a grocery store?
No, yeah, yeah.
It's a Southeast grocery store, yeah.
Yeah, I lived in Georgia for like 6 months randomly. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I shill Publix too. It's my favorite place. I love it.
Yeah. Metal Bader, Metal Skull Emoji Bader asks, what's the fondest memory you've had from all of your years of streaming? And making YouTube videos and making the podcast.
Oh, man. My fondest memories of streaming are always whenever I do something and it just hits right. Like if I do a grand reveal of something, or if I have a new gimmick, or I show off a new game and it's just working. I just have like a highlight reel in my head of like, remember that time I did this and everyone loved it? Yeah. Remember that time I played this and no one had seen it before and they were blown away? Yeah. Remember the time? Like those days, streaming is always good, but sometimes it's great. And my fondest memories are when it's great. The times when it just everything falls in place, that's when I'm just like, oh, yeah.
Got it.
As for YouTube,
we'll have to ask that another time because this is lightning round.
Fuck.
Just real quick, just if you have any like names to drop or anything in terms of influences or like people that you really like.
Yeah. I grew up on Newgrounds. Literally every day after elementary school running to Newgrounds. So I will give big hugs and loves and kisses to the Newgrounds artist crew. Oni, Psychic Pebbles, Stamper, Johnny Utah. Like literally any of those people who did that, they influenced me more than they'll ever know.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if we're naming YouTubers and shit like that, Angry Video Game Nerd. Started watching him back in middle school and always admired it. And he's still doing it. I love it. He's one of the few like people on YouTube I actually really follow.
Got it. Also, there's this really cool YouTube channel named Hugbees. You guys should check that out. How could they find that, Andrew?
Mint.t1podcast.
Is this where I shill everything?
No, this is just an opportunity to shill that one. I'm trying to work them in organically.
Oh, yeah, just Hugbees on YouTube. Hugbees. Some of you viral fanatics on the Facebook and Twitter might know my How It's Actually Made series.
Yeah.
That's me.
I remember last night, Joe was just randomly sending me little clips from your How It's Actually Made series, and I was giggling to them. He was like talking about Einstein bagels and stuff.
If we're talking about organically shilling in things, my fondest YouTube memory is probably when the first How It's Actually Made took off, because that's when I went, wow, I finally fucking have something.
Which one was that again?
Chocolate.
Ah, okay.
So I've been doing YouTube since like 2010, and while I've had an audience and I've had some things get popular, I've never, the entire time I've had it, had things go viral, like over a million views or just explode and get passed around, and How It's Made was the first one to do that. So that is my fondest memory. When that finally like hit a million, I was like, oh my God, I finally fucking did it. Woohoo!
There's a suggestion in the chat with the fans that they're saying that you should do one on how our podcast's made.
Oh, baby. You like right now? I could do it.
No, like eventually when you have the time.
Oh, I get suggestions out the ass, man. Some of them are great. Some of them are the weirdest shit in the world. I think the worst one I ever got was, you should do a podcast on how Chinese people are made.
Oh.
That was an actual suggestion.
By the way, there's a question from Toy Box Creature, who's one of our patrons, and you kind of already answered it with the bad date story, but I'll just toss it up real quick.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any weird stories from when you were a child?
Oh, fuck. Oh, yeah, I got one. When I was a little kid and Pokemon literally first came out, I, at one point, like, I was just being a fucking 5-year-old and using my imagination, and I wanted to be Brock's Vulpix. So when I went to bed, I would like sleep on my pillow all curled up like a fucking dog, or I guess a fox. I don't know why. It was like one of those memories when you're a very small child and you're just lost in your imagination doing stupid shit. So for like 3 days, I would just be like, okay, I'm going to go to bed. I am a Pokemon. And I would sleep on my pillow at the top of the bed like a dog.
This is an audio podcast. I have a very wholesome smile on right now, though, yeah. Hearing that. That's cute.
That's what I remember as being weird, and I would do it.
Andrew is a furry confirmed. Oh, speaking, just real quick, though. So it turns out, by the way, that Vulpix's evolution, Ninetales, is like the most dangerous Pokemon of all time. Have you ever looked him up? Like, first of all, he can control people's minds. Just he just has that ability. Also, anyone who touches him is cursed for 1,000 years.
I love the explanation. I saw this in a comic, and it really stuck with me, and I think it proves a lot of stuff. The explanation that the Pokedex is written by children.
Yes.
Like, other trainers. So, like, they look at a Macargo, which is a big slug made out of magma, and they touch it, and they burn their hand, and he goes, wow, it must be 1,000 degrees! So then they put it in the Pokedex, and it becomes a fact. I've always loved that explanation for it. It explains so much where, like, the descriptions say ridiculous shit and how Pokemon can break the laws of physics. And, like one of them is, like, Alakazam has an IQ of 1 million or something.
Oh, yeah. It says, holy shit, it speaks. It's so smart. It must have an IQ. Oh, it's a kid. So it's like, it must have an IQ of, like, 500. No, wow. 5,000 even.
Holy shit, it talks. It must have an IQ of 5,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I love that explanation of it, because Pokemon are the ones kids are the ones finding new Pokemon and adding them to the Pokedex, so they write the entries. I think it makes perfect sense. I love it.
By the way, this episode's a good reason why you guys should probably tune in next time live, so you can actually catch all these links and stuff and not have to awkwardly shuffle through them on your morning commute in the show notes. But
yeah, check out their Discord. It's public. I was able to join.
That link I sent you is private, but...
Shit!
But I do have a public link. That's always in the show notes. I'll go ahead and add that as well.
Gotcha.
Andrew, I can hear it in your voice. I've heard it in your voice for the last 10 minutes. I think you're raring to talk about it.
All right, I want to preface this by saying that I am not paid to say this. The developers have never even talked to me. anyway.
I don't think anyone doubted that until now.
Hey, man, look, I just like to be upfront, because in this day and age, nearly every review you find is paid, or people get their games for free.
Yeah.
Any, you know, that shit is rampant and they don't mention it. So I'm just being honest. I paid full price for this game and bought the soundtrack. I was not asked to stream it. I was suggested it by some fans and friends. That's it. That's all there is to it. Hypno Space Outlaw is my game of 2019. We are recording this March 21st, and I already know nothing will beat this. Boys, I'm going to call you that because we're friends now. Lars, Joe, how old are you guys?
27.
By the way, in the DMs that Andrew mentioned, that we're probably all going to be nice big boyfriends at the end of this, so I guess that's where that's landed.
I expect my kiss when we're done. Okay. So, Joe, you are 27. Lars, what are you at?
30.
30, perfect. No, that's perfect. You guys remember 90s computers? Growing up, where everyone had GeoCities and their own pages, and you had intros you couldn't skip, and they played music you couldn't turn off.
Oh, I had all of those on my website, yeah.
Yeah, and you remember they had little dancing animations they would spread around and all this stuff, and just, like, links that would go nowhere, and your browser would, like, load things intermittently randomly, like things would literally pop in as they loaded instead of all in one nice clean chunk. You remember all this shit?
I do,
yep.
Okay, so Hypno Space Outlaw is that in a game. It is, I'm not going to give everything away, because I cannot recommend that people out there play this highly enough. Even if you don't have nostalgia for 90s computers, even if you're a little younger boy, like you're a nice prime little 15-year-old kid listening to the show right now, so you're like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Can you please not describe 15-year-old kids as prime on the show?
If you're a slender peak condition 15-year-old child,
there we go. That's
willing
better.
Willing and raring to go listening to this show.
Eager and willing.
So just to settle this out of the way, even if you don't have nostalgia for the 90s like I do, growing up with computers that were shitty and limited, the game has very, very good writing. It has a lot of things to explore, a lot of in-depth lore and secrets you can dig up, and very, very clever puzzles. Very, very, very clever puzzles. But beyond that, the world that it crafts is one of the greatest I've ever seen in my entire life of gaming. It is, it's the whole point, and I'm not going to give away a lot of it, because a lot of it you discover by just reading and playing it.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, this is the spoiler cutoff, and you should skip a few minutes if you don't want anything at all revealed.
Yeah, yeah, again, I'm not going to give away plot points, I haven't even personally beaten it yet, but
yeah.
It's about a world where they invent a computer called Hypno-S, so like kind of hypnosis, and it is a visor that you wear while you sleep, and you can use the internet while you're asleep. And the game takes place in 1999, so it is very much based around like 1999's trends on the internet, computers, any of that shit. Any of that stuff you saw back then, dancing animations, background music. The really low compressed audio quality, audio loops, programs that barely work. Everything has to be double clicked. Like, and it's very good and part of it. So what you do is you are the internet police, and you are part of a volunteer task force where you censor the internet. You go around, you find copyright material, you take it down. You find harassment, you take it down. You find people selling illegal stuff, you take it down. And while it is a nice message with today's, like, you know, YouTube is getting copyright deflections on everything and Twitch will mute your streams and this and that, it plays very well also into kind of the 90s take on a lot of different issues. For example, they have Pokemon in the game. They're called Squishers. And you can find the Squishers homepage and you look around and they're like, catch them all. They're really fun. You got to get all the Squishers and blah, blah, blah. But then, as you progress in the game, you'll find another website denouncing the evils of Satanism in Squishers. Remember how Pokemon, back when it came out, everyone thought it was satanic?
Yeah.
And against the Bible because it promoted evolution? Hey, they have that. Remember how back in the day people thought that, like, Dad Rock was the coolest shit and then it turns out it was ironic? They have that. Remember how everyone had no fashion sense and horrible color palettes and layouts? They have that. It's such a perfect melding of nostalgia and new world building. I can't get over it enough how perfectly they do it. How flawlessly they create a world that is both new and nostalgia inspired.
What's the genre of it, by the way? What are you trying to do?
Like, it's hard to describe because it's a visual novel where you read stuff and then make choices, but you're more solving puzzles. The best way to describe it is a point and click adventure where you read a lot of text, but the text itself is fun to read. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you're finding bizarre websites. And the way that you solve the puzzles is you come through the websites and read what they're about and then go. Like, one of them is you need to find a password to get into a secret server. And they don't ever tell you the password, because obviously the password. But you can go to another guy's tech website that gives password tips. And he's like, use this combination. Use your city, your birth date, and your hobby as your password. And then you can go, well, okay, if I look up the guy who made the server, I can get his birth date, where he lives, and his hobby, and then you type that in, boom, that's the password. It's all just these clever little puzzles that you are never expressly told for you to solve them. And when you do, they're just, oh my God, they're so fucking satisfying and clever and good. I wish it were real.
Oh, this isn't a real game?
No. I wish the Hypno space was real. The world that it presents. The game is real. The game is 100% real.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're a fan of puzzle games or games where world building is the top priority, I cannot recommend this highly enough. It is engrossing. I only stopped playing it because I can't concentrate anymore. I'll stream it for hours and hours and hours. It's an indie masterpiece.
What's the name of it?
Hypno Space Outlaw. It is on Steam. I think it's only $20. And I've already played it for about 12 hours, and I'm not even past level 2.
Oh. So you really suck is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, I'm the worst. I can't read.
You can't even get past level 2.
I'm just garbage at it. I want people to beat it for me and show me how it's done. That's why I'm shilling it. But no, it's just because there's so much optional content.
Are you going to stream it tonight?
Yes, actually, after this podcast, actually. Oh, okay. Are we organically working in shilling again?
Well, I mean, you already gave the link once. I think that's enough, good sir, but yeah.
Sure. That's mintmobile.com/first yeah. 1P podcast. I don't know. I don't remember.
Almost. Mint.t1podcast.com.
Close, but not close enough, yeah.
I'm sorry to rant, though, on something I like. It's just I'm a cynical, grumpy boy. I'm not impressed by a lot of stuff. So when something really hooks me, I could literally have filled this whole podcast talking about it.
I'm watching the trailer right now. I'm really tempted to get it.
Let me put it this way. This might tickle you guys for the nostalgia boner and some other people out there.
Oh, I'm pretty ticklish, yeah. So sure.
One of the key plot points is you have to download Bonzi Buddy.
Ah.
If that doesn't sound like fun to you, I don't know what is.
It's like a nice little reference.
Yeah, it's their version of Bonzi Buddy, but you have to download it to progress. I think that's fun. I like it.
All right, I'm gonna let someone come on voice real quick and ask you a question. We tend to do at least one of those an episode if we can.
Sure.
All right, the first person to type, let's give him some hard math here. 2 + 3 in the chat. What's the answer to that? First one to be able to do it gets to come on.
I think Metal in there got the 5.
Yeah, I don't think he has a mic though.
Motherfucker!
Why did he guess?
Well, I'll give it to AXL.
No, he's got a mic.
He does have a mic.
He's got a mic.
Ah,
bring him on. Let him say hello.
Okay, AXL already said he wanted to come on, so I'll do them both. Go ahead, Metal Edge Skull Emoji Bader.
All right. So, hi Andrew, how are you doing?
Hi. I'm great.
I'm so fucking nervous. Oh my god.
It's okay, I am too.
I want to ask you this.
Yeah.
What was your opinion on visual novels before you played Doki Doki?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Ooh.
Okay, so for those of you out there who don't know what he's talking about, Doki Doki Literature Club was a big visual novel that went pretty viral because it did some things outside of outside of visual novels.
Yes.
That are, you know, it did some different things. I'm not going to give away what it does because it got a bunch of plot
Most
twists.
Things are spoilers. So yeah, just go check it out on your own.
Exactly.
Terms.
Exactly. It's very well worth it. I had never played that many visual novels before I did Doki Doki. I streamed Doki Doki and that brought on a trend of me streaming visual novels. So originally I thought visual novels were the worst fucking thing in the world. Because the only ones that I had played were like Phoenix Wright and 999, where they had actual gameplay to it, where you were solving murders and finding puzzles and doing shit. They were basically point-and-click adventures, but with a big story element. And I was like, that's great. Fantastic. Then I played Doki Doki, and I realized two things. The first is that there's a lot of visual novels out there that can actually do fun things with the format.
Yeah.
Like they can mess with the fact it's a game, or they can tell a story you can only tell through a game medium, or they can do this and that. They're not just like, hey, read a comic book with no animation, or hey, I hope you like reading. You know what I mean? They can use sound to their advantage. There's a lot of advantages that come to a visual novel that if they do it well, can be super solidly like nice. But then the big thing I realized is I can just riff them the entire time.
Mm, yeah.
So when I would stream them, I would just replace words I thought were funny. I would just make jokes. I would, you guys know Riff Tracks and Mystery Science Theater and all those guys who would watch the movies and make fun of them.
Yes, sir.
I realized that visual novels are perfect for that if you're doing streaming because they're just one big long movie. They're one big story. So while I'm reading it, I could just crack these jokes and do these riffs and fuck around with it. So I think once I got to that point and I found that they're a really good medium for entertainment that I don't get a lot that I love doing, which is riffing, I grew to love them. I grew to really get into them. Now I've done a good handful of them.
Yeah, I would say the exact same thing. I'm a fan of visual novels myself, but you kind of said it all.
Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of people think that they're just like shitty books.
A lot of them aren't.
Oh, absolutely. The visual novel subgenre, because it requires almost no programming, is very easily flooded with garbage.
Sturgeon's Law.
I've gotten a big, much better appreciation and respect for them when I found ones that did creative things with the genre, such as Doki Doki.
And ones that you could dress up for on stream.
Oh, dude, let me tell you, no offense, I'm so glad I'm not streaming Phoenix Wright anymore, because putting on a full suit every stream got really annoying and hot.
It looks cool as shit, but yeah, that would be dreadful.
It was worth it. It was fun. But let me tell you, man, it got hot. It got uncomfy. I had to clean it all the time. It was not fun.
Mm-hmm. All right, AXL has a question for you.
Oh,
sure.
Hey, it's your boy Axel, and it's 1 a.m. here, so I'm kind of sleepy, and I have a test tomorrow. But first, a quick statement.
Go to bed.
Well,
thank you for your time, Axel. Really appreciate it.
No, go ahead.
Thank you for joining us.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you.
Quick statement. thanks for having DMs open on Twitter. It's really nice to have a void to like vent into whenever I'm dealing with shit. And the second question, well, the question, I should say, on an earlier episode of the official podcast, I remember you saying something about you dabbling in music or something.
Yeah.
Could you give some updates on that? Or do you have any things you want to do with that?
There's two major things going on with that right now. One of them is I'm trying to learn guitar. I am about as competent as it as a 5-year-old playing guitar. But because guitar, believe it or not, it's kind of hard, but I've always wanted to do it. So just usually once every couple days, I'll spend a couple hours and just fiddle with it and learn it. The second half, I can't give a ton of details because I don't want to give stuff away. But I have a friend who works in music production, and we have some ideas. And that's where that's going to sit. And he and I have been bouncing back and forth. We've had a couple sit downs, and lately we've been more and more pumping more ideas into it. But I'm not at liberty to give away what's going on with that yet.
We'll just say his name rhymes with Bonnie Best.
Yeah, Bonnie Best. That's right. He, you know what? I'll just give it away. It's Monye Dest, my cousin.
Yeah,
he's he got a bachelor's degree from DeVry University in music,
which is almost worse than not having one.
Thanks for your question, both Metal and Axel, by the way.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Joe, is there anything that you were wanting to get to, or Andrew, is there anything like you're dying to talk about other than the hypnosis?
That's mintmobile.com/one.
You're fucking it up again. God damn it.
Well, it's mint.t1podcast.com. But
thank you,
no,
Joe.
I mean, I wouldn't say there's anything specifically I'm dying to talk about.
I do have one last question before, unless you need to go like now.
Oh, there is one thing. What would be your useless superpower?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good question.
Like, imagine like the ability to seduce hats.
I got it. Since I'm usually a very cynical man and I'm very opinionated, my superpower would be I'd be able to write the perfect review for something that people don't agree with but can't fault me for.
That's a super useful power, though.
It is? Why? Like, all it would do is, let's say I saw Infinity War and I hated it. Like, hypothetically, it was a good movie. And I wrote a review where I'm like, this movie sucks and this actor's bad, this and that. Everyone on the earth who reads it would go, you know, I don't agree, but he's got some good points.
Thus allowing you to get a job. That's the ability to piss
people off at will, Andrew. Okay. That's great.
All right, that's a little too useful then.
Yeah, try again, but...
All right. I would love the ability to know if in a 1 mile radius, people are fucking.
That's pretty useless.
That is truly useless because there's no real benefit to it at all.
Well, yeah, like I could be with some friends and we could be outside the Quiznos and I'd be like, oh, careful, in there some people might be fucking.
Yeah, in the Quiznos bathroom.
Yeah.
What if you go camping with like two of your friends or like, let's say, two of your friends and you want to know like if they're fucking and you know nobody's around for 1 mile?
Ooh.
Except for you guys.
Well, now it's a useful superpower, goddammit.
Someone's fucking.
Joe,
someone's
you've
fucking.
Ruined it for everyone.
I'm just trying to be honest.
All right, I'm going to give one that's I think is truly useless.
Yeah.
Unlimited mustard.
Well, what if
There's
you
only
like
so
mustard?
Much that you want.
What if you like mustard?
Okay, so I feel like even if you like mustard, and I do, my mustard bill for the year is probably something like $5.
My mustard bill.
Yeah, so it's
I have my expenses here. These are personal, this is business, and this is mustard.
Like, this is my mustard bill.
I'm gonna purchase it anyway, so it's like it helps me to the tune of $5.
We actually have a useless superpowers channel.
Oh,
if you wanna. Everyone who's listening, we have a useless superpowers channel.
Go contribute one if you guys want to keep listening, otherwise we're gonna have to kick you all off. Thank you.
See, now I just feel like mine actually have uses. Like, endless mustard, huh?
Name one use for that.
Wow.
You could sell it.
No,
let's imagine it's like store brand, like French's.
Ooh, even worse, it comes in the little packets.
Ah.
So even if you wanted to sell it, you have to open them all up and jar it.
The value of your time in terms of money is really low at that point. You might as well just go work at McDonald's or something instead.
Exactly.
See, you can't refute it.
Fuck. See, I just keep thinking that you are useful. It's like, I'd love the power to know when someone is happy. It's like, well, you can do a lot with that.
Yeah.
It's difficult to think of a truly useless superpower. Otherwise, it's not a superpower.
Well, one of them would be like the ability to instantly die. Like, there's no.
All right, I got a good one. I got a good one. I think I got you beat. Okay. The power to know, be the first person in the room to know when someone is about to sneeze.
Oh.
So that way you will always be the first person to say bless you.
I feel like that could help you out, though.
How?
Oh, you could pretend. You could act like you're psychic. You could like point to someone and then they sneeze.
But no.
You could be the first to say bless you.
It is literally like half a second before they actually sneeze, you know.
Yeah, so you know, you're in a board meeting with the executives of your company for, you know, or somebody, you know, any manager.
Oh yeah, you can avoid getting sick, says Tej in the chat. That's true. Like, you can.
Fuck.
It's hard, yep. Isn't it?
Why am I so good at superpowers?
What about the? This was one from an early on episode. What about the superpower where you can dispense any kind of, you know,
condiment,
mayonnaise or ketchup? Any kind of condiment.
That's very
out
useful.
Of, like, your little finger.
Or your penis.
Or, like, your belly button or your
that's
penis.
That's extremely useful.
That is useful.
What are you talking about? I would love that power.
That would be terrifying.
Well, imagine...
Dude, you
imagine
go...
Imagine somebody says, like, hey, do you have any ketchup? And you're like, well, I got my penis ketchup. Oh, I don't want that. No, it's fine. And, like, you're trying to...
Yeah, and
it's,
then...
It's
you're,
good as new.
And then your friends who actually love and respect you go on a nice trip to Burger King and they go, oh, they forgot the ketchup for my fries, and you triumphantly start to undo your pants.
Yeah.
It's a perfect superpower.
It's great.
Yeah. I think that's great.
Yeah, it's like the piss soap, except coming out of your penis.
How about you know if a movie is going to have a sequel?
You could make money betting on that.
Yep. That's looking into the future. Very useful.
Clairvoyance. Shit, you're right.
What if you could know that a movie was going to be released a day before its release date?
You know, I was thinking of that one too, but then you could write pre-reviews and all that stuff or tell everyone about it.
What about the ability to have infinite knowledge and like zero application? So you're just always having random bits of knowledge pass through your brain?
Well, knowledge for knowledge's sake is one of the great parts of philosophy, Joe. That's a terrible answer.
Yeah, Plato is really mad at you right now.
Yeah, also, I have one from the chat that I don't remember his name. I'll try to edit it in post.
Ooh, I got a good one.
Okay, Andrew.
You can speak to the dead, but only ones that don't speak your language.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you can speak to the dead, but they can't speak back.
Ooh, that's a good one, too. No, that's even better. You can talk to the dead. They will hear you, but they cannot communicate back.
That's great.
That's a good one.
The ability to mute yourself in real life.
That's not bad either.
You already have that power, Joe, by closing your mouth. And I suggest right. You use that power more often.
Ooh.
One of them that was suggested in the chat earlier was the ability to remember any bit of information at all, except for when you need it the most.
Oh, that's scary. How about, let's retrofit one. The ability to speak a language of your own creation.
So like gibberish.
Yeah, a language that no one speaks, but you perfectly understand it.
I wonder if that would develop your brain and allow you to have other cognitive gifts.
No. I can defeat this one. Hold on, let me Google something real quick. Joe, distract our guest.
Hey guys, how's it going?
And I'm on my phone.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'm on my phone too.
Okay, so here's the thing. The ability to speak your own language that only you know is the basis of something called the Voynich or Voynich manuscript.
Oh, wow.
So you could become kind of a world wonder by having that language.
God, everything is useful. Fuck, I hate it.
That's kind of a wholesome thing to be upset about, though.
Yeah, everything's too good. This sucks.
All right, you guys want to kind of go out on a high note, by the way? You guys want to kind of close things up?
Yeah, we can go out on a high note.
Okay.
Seems better than the alternative.
We've been going for almost 2 hours now. That's what she said. Let's give the socials and the links.
That was
and stuff.
The high note. That was it.
I wish we could, but we have to give our stuff.
Thanks for joining us for another exciting episode of The First Podcast. If you want to watch more, go to t1podcast.com. If you want to check out our sponsors, that's mint.t1podcast.com or nord.t1podcast.com with
the first podcast at checkout.
Oh, and Joe, if you wanted to get priority listening access to new unreleased episodes, and you wanted a fancy title in the Discord, access to patron-only hangouts and all sorts of cool, fun stuff, including a shout-out on air to our newest patron, Toy Box Creature, a.k.a. Bro on the server.
Thanks, bro.
How would you do that?
All you would have to do is join our $2 tier on Patreon.
And how would they do that?
Patreon.com/T1Podcast.
We run a damn good show. You guys should help support us. And every dollar helps. And it gets you cool perks on the Discord and more.
I had fun. I am a testimony of a real user. I had a fun time on the show.
Thank you for your testimony.
No problem. When do I get paid?
Oh, gotta go.
The 31st of February next year.
That's with a 5-year payable.
Fuck. You had to go. That's my superpower right there.
Is to not get paid for gigs?
I always get paid January 31st.
Wait, is January the month of 31 or is that?
Oh, no, wait. Hey, I still get paid. All right, I get paid February 30th. How about that?
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, just to close out the episode, one of the people in the chat asks, what's the highest note you can hit, Andrew?
Do you want me to try? Okay.
Here's one from Shiny Pants who asks, he asked me, you should ask Andrew about cloning himself. I promise he will love it.
That motherfucker. I think you need to. No, it's fine. It's fine.
No, it'll be funny if we leave it there.
Okay, yeah. Just edit out what I just said. Just leave it at that motherfucker and move on.